You are now tuned into Big Market Butts.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, everyone. Welcome to Big Market Bias. On the East Coast, I am Peter Dauber, and no West Coast on this edition of Big Market Bias. Our guy Cam is in Las Vegas having the time of his life. So, filling in for him today is the beautiful, the wonderful, the enchanting Chrissy Brambilla. How are you today?
I'm good.
Yeah. Chrissy is, besides being the world's greatest person, is also a massive, massive Miami Heat fan. Is that right?
Yeah.
You've been following the team for years.
No. I've been following since, like, the last playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, you like that they beat the one seed as the eight seed.
Yeah, they were the underdogs. The way you explained it to me, you were like, they barely made the cut. And I was like, those are my people.
Yeah.
I love them.
Exactly.
And then I watched them dethrone, like, the first seed. And I was like, Absolutely, we're winning this. And we would have. You know, I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah, the pain of losing in the final is still too deep for you. Well, listen, we're gonna get into it. I have a whole thing for you of course I am a Celtics fan. You are a newly minted Heat fan, so I thought it would be fun to go through the history of the rivalry together. But before that, we do this at a special time in the NBA schedule. What's called the All-Star Break. And the fun part about the All-Star break is basically just a week off for the players, which is a big deal because they get tired throughout the year and stuff like that. So having like a week off in kind of the middle, because we're like kind of at the midway point, like a little bit further than midway through the season.
Wait, is there a break leading into March Madness?
Not quite leading into March Madness, no. But we're almost to March Madness. That's college.
Ah.
Yeah, so it's two different things. But that's amazing.
You're going to roast me alive.
It's fine. It doesn't matter. It's fine. It's all good. So, All-Star Weekend, okay? It's really 2 days. It's technically 3 days, but it's really 2 days. Where basically the first day, we're going to kind of go through it. So they have the skills challenge, which nobody cares about.
Okay. Why does no one care about it? Because it seems important.
No, it's not very fun. It's like these guys, they're just, like, throwing balls, like at targets and, like, dribbling through cones and, like...
Wait, do the players at least have fun? Or, like, why is it done?
I don't even know. It's not fun. Nobody really cares about it. The players do it, and they have, like, some fun doing it. So it's like, okay, I guess, like, you know, have fun. I think some kids like it. But really, the big thing, there's two big events. But this year, there's three big events.
Ooh.
Versus the three-point contest. Which is fun. It's literally just dudes taking turns shooting threes. And they just shoot a bunch of threes. And then...
Wait, which dudes?
NBA dudes.
No. Like just every single NBA shooter's on the court throwing threes.
No. Oh my god, that would take forever. Absolutely not.
Doesn't that sound so fun and chaotic?
Oh my god, no, that would take like 3 days. That's like, there's like 500. No, absolutely not. That would be ridiculous. No. So the 3 point, it's like six dudes.
Okay.
It's like six people who like sign up for it. And usually they're pretty good shooters and it's fun. It's, you know, it's sometimes it's dramatic. It's like a fun contest. It's pretty good every year. Cause it's just dudes shooting. Yeah. So it's like, that's just fun to watch. Sometimes dudes, like they go on like these really long runs and they do really well. Ooh. And it's fun. It's a good time. So that's first. So the people, because there are people listening to this who don't necessarily follow ball, so they might not know. So the three-point contest, the field is, I'm just going to run through these eight players, Malik Beasley, Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Haliburton, Damian Lillard, Lowry Markkanen, Donovan Mitchell, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Trae Young.
Do you know what would be really fun?
Yeah.
Let's both pick who we think is going to win. You on like a more like closely follows along.
Right.
Like aspect.
I know who all these players
are. And me more on like the vibes.
Right.
I got from like when you said their names.
Okay.
And let's see who wins.
Sure. I love this. Absolutely. Who based on purely their vibes? Who
are you purely going for? Their vibes.
Yeah.
Okay.
For those listening, I have a picture of the 3-point contest open. She's now looking at pictures of all the players. You got this.
I'm not going to lie. That Damian dude?
Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey.
You think he's going to win?
Yeah.
It's a good pick. I mean, he's won before. He's won a 3-point contest.
Wow. This is why you can't discount the vibes.
Exactly. So that makes sense. Personally, I'm going to go with Malik Beasley. That's my pick.
Really?
Malik Beasley. Okay. Got it. Yeah. Bucks teammate.
We have to shake on this. Officially locked in. Okay.
We're locking it in. Okay. Perfect. I love it. So, that's a 3-point contest. After that, it's a very fun thing they're doing just this year. Sometimes they'll throw in these random events, one-time events. This is one of those events where it's Steph Curry. You know who Steph Curry is?
I do know who that is.
Currently considered to be the world's greatest shooter. Greatest shooter of all time in the history of basketball.
I've heard. Nobody's... He has, like, amazing muscle memory. I know that about him.
Yes, exactly. He is doing a shooting contest, three-point contest versus Sabrina Ionescu, who is, she is one of the best players in the WNBA. She
plays for the New York Liberty. This is women versus men.
Yes.
Oh my God, I can't wait to see Steph Curry get dogged walked. Women play a technical game, be mad about it all you want, but they don't flop like fish.
Oh my God, no. Just getting into the NBA, and you already know these people be flopping. It's not great out here.
Is that too much of a controversial take?
No.
We can edit that out. We can edit that out.
They do flop too much. You're totally right. We talk about it all the time.
If anyone wants to see like the live tweeting on new on NBA games, Peter will drop my Twitter handle.
Okay. So, Sabrina is very good at three-point shooting as well. And people compare her to Steph a lot, actually.
Ooh,
a little bit. Yeah, because they're both really good shooters.
Can I know what, like, does she play, is, like, women's the same as men versus, like, East and West?
Yes.
Does she play East or West?
So she plays in the Eastern Conference. She plays in New York.
Hey! Immediately she's going
to
win.
Yeah, so New York, it's supposed to kind of New York versus San Francisco a little bit. There. Women versus men, the whole deal. It's very fun. Okay. So that's something really we're all really looking forward to. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. And this is the first time that the NBA has done this kind of like WNBA, NBA like kind of cross thing. And I think it's something they should definitely continue because they love marketing the W. W's is rising in popularity and the whole deal. And the NBA has really been pushing for that too. So it only makes sense, in my opinion, to have these let's get these women against these men, let's go. Let's have some fun. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good.
Wow.
And then, crowning off the night is the slam dunk contest.
Okay.
Which it has a very rich history of some amazing NBA culture moments. Truly some great stuff.
He named me, like, the most iconic moment that came from the slam dunk.
Well, one of the most iconic moments is Michael Jordan. And when he's won the slam dunk contest. And
when he did like the Jordan logo, was that at a slam dunk?
Well, I don't know exactly actually what specific, but he would do that a lot.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
Yes, that also does come from that slam dunk.
Okay.
Because basically what he did was he went in, he put a piece of tape on the free throw line, and then he ran and he jumped from the free throw line to dunk, which is very impressive. And I think like maybe like five people in the world are like athletic enough to pull that off. There's also Dominique Wilkins had a really big dunk in the 80s, that was like really big. There's been a lot of cool stuff. Vince Carter, we've had a lot of really great stuff. But lately it's kind of lost its muster. It's not very fun anymore.
Aww.
The good players, like back in the day, Michael Jordan was in the slam dunk contest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nowadays. There's barely anyone like who's actually good in the slam dunk contest. Like this year, Jaylen Brown, who's an all-star, is playing. That is in the slam dunk contest. That is outside the norm. Usually, people who actually make the all-star team don't actually like play, don't do them contests because it's kind of, or at least they would consider it kind of beneath them. You know?
Wow. So like,
or like they don't want to, they don't like, because if you do it and you miss, people like will clown on you. So it's like they're like, they just don't do it at all. And it's
imagine lame. Thinking something like Michael Jordan did was beneath you.
Exactly.
Throwing tomatoes. You know exactly what you're talking tomatoes. About. Throwing tomatoes. I
mean, you know ball. You know ball.
Absolutely. Exactly. It's all about vibes.
Exactly.
I'm excellent at vibes.
So yeah. But your guy Jaime Jasquez, is competing.
He better not let me down or I will clown on him.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. I mean, I'm really looking forward mostly to the Steph Sabrina thing. But that's happening on Saturday. So that's what we're going to be doing on Saturday night, is watching that.
Wait, this Saturday?
Saturday. Yeah, tomorrow.
Oh my God, we're going to get drunk and eat steaks and watch basketball. That actually sounds nice.
I mean, you're describing my perfect evening. This is why you're so beautiful. Anyway, and then on Sunday, we have the All-Star Game.
Okay.
Which is a big thing. So the All-Star Game is picked by basically the best, I guess, 15, or no, it's not 15. It's like best 9 or 10. I forget the actual number. 9, it's like 12 players or something. Mm-hmm. Best 12 players in each conference are picked.
Wait, are they picked based off like, okay, like all the best shooters, or like, oh no, we have the best shooter, the best guarder, the best whatever.
No, it's just picked on, it's just who's the best.
Their position is not like, their position
factored in like a little bit. For the starters, it is.
Okay.
Because for the starters are actually voted in by the people. Like, we can vote. Like, I voted.
Oh, on the All-Star. Who'd you vote for?
You fill out a ballot. So you fill out, like...
How presidential.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a whole thing. You fill out, like, every position. And it's like 25% the fans... Or no, it's 50% fans, 25% the media votes on it, and then 25% of that is also the players themselves vote on who is also starting. And then the benches, so that's the top 10 players are chosen by that. And then the benches are all decided by the coaches.
No, that's fair.
So, like, then they create, and that's the All-Star team. And those guys are basically considered, like, yeah, they're, like, the best. They're supposed to be, anyway, the best of the best this year, the NBA.
Okay.
And they do that every single year. And then, so they take those two teams, those players, they make them teams, and they have them play in a game. Okay. All together, East versus West. Mm. And they play the game. And in the past, they've been fun. Like, and usually nowadays, you know, the players don't really care. It can be kind of fun in that, like players do a lot of fun stuff. They'll do, like, cross-court alley-oops. They'll take, like, half-court shots all the time. They'll, like, you know, they just do stupid stuff. There's, like, no defense whatsoever.
So it's, like, a big recess game with kind professional of. Players.
Yeah, it's, like, they're just out there having a good time. Nobody really cares. Nobody's trying, really. Except for, like, if it's a close game at the end, people do kind of start to, like, care a little bit. Because you want to win. But at the end, you know, it's, like, they don't really care. So it's not as fun as it used to be. But, like, it's still, like, you know, I still watch it. It's fun-ish.
Social media has ruined everything.
Yeah. And, I mean, we get some fun moments, you know? We get, like, fun little in-game moments sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, like, who wins All-Star Game MVP? It doesn't really matter, actually. But it's an award that they do give out.
How do they decide that?
They just say whoever does best in the game. Oh, so, okay. Like, so usually you'll have a player, like, last year. Mm-hmm. Jason Tatum, Celtics best player.
Celtics suck.
And Celtics best player, Jason Tatum. He for some reason was like, I really care. I want to win because he loves Kobe. So Kobe won the All-Star Game MVP. So he wants to win. And a trophy's named after Kobe. It's the Kobe Bryant All-Star Game MVP trophy. So he wanted to win the trophy. So last year he like tried in the All-Star game, and so he won because he tried. So he put up all the numbers.
Oh,
you know, because like nobody else was trying. So if you even just like if you're like I'm gonna try, I'm gonna care, you're gonna win MVP because nobody else cares. But yeah, so we have that to look forward to. That's on Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's All-Star game weekend, and then there's no games till like Thursday.
Wow.
So it's a bit of a break.
How do you plan on coping with that?
Honestly, I don't know. drowning myself in movies, ideally, video games.
Oh.
Things of that nature. Trying to cope. Maybe I'll just play 2K and pretend I'm watching. But okay, so that's the All-Star. That's what we have to look forward to. But Nan, I wanted to move on. I wanted to do a little history lesson with you.
Okay.
About what I consider, personally, I believe this, to be the best rivalry currently in the NBA.
That's because it involves the best team. The Miami Heat, of course.
Yeah. Exactly. That's fair. Not the best team, but a team.
I mean, certainly better than the Celtics.
I mean, not this year, for sure. But
what has history shown us? Who got you out of the finals?
Okay.
Who got you out? Who got you out? Who got you out?
First of all, you lost the finals.
We're not going to talk about that.
But anyway, so the Heat and the Celtics. So rivalries are born because two teams play each other a lot in the playoffs. That's really how rivalries are formed. When the games that matter and you just keep seeing this team over and over and over again.
So this rivalry was born of the Celtics getting so butthurt about constantly being put into their place by the Miami Heat. That's what you're saying.
Well, first of all, the Miami Heat have not won every single playoff matchup, which we're about to go through.
I can guarantee, based off vibes, we won the majority of them.
Not all of them. And that's what
matters. Oh, but you can't deny the majority.
So before 2010, so the Miami Heat are an expansion team. The Celtics and the Knicks are the only two original teams when the NBA was formed in like the 40s or the 50s or whatever, back in the day. The Celtics were one of the teams that existed. Mm-hmm. The Heat did not exist. The Heat existed, what is it? The Heat came in 1989.
That's a fabulous year.
Is when they showed up. So there was a long period of time where this rivalry didn't exist because the team didn't exist. But still, the very first playoff series between the Celtics and the Heat was not until 2010.
Wow.
So for the entirety of the 90s, the entirety of the 2000s, the Celtics and the Heat was not like even a thing. It wasn't a rivalry. It wasn't a thing at all. We literally never played each other in a game that like really mattered. Until 2010, which was the beginning. And the Celtics absolutely crushed the Miami Heat in first round series. The Celtics beat the Heat. Celtics actually went on to make the finals that year.
But did they win the finals that year?
We will not talk about that series. Okay, it was a 7-game series. If Kevin Garnett didn't get hurt in 2009, then...
You sound like when men say, if I didn't get injured, softball okay.
Kevin Garnett didn't get injured in 2009, we would have won in 2009, and then we also would have won in 2010, because that's just how these things work. We would have three-peated, that's all I'm saying, and Kobe would only have three rings. Anyway. That's
giving, I hurt my arm in T-ball and could never play again the same way.
But then, so Celtics beat the Heat up in the first round in 2010. 2011, however, the big change that happened was the Miami Heat got two players, two big name players. One of them was a guy named Chris Bosh, pretty good player. Another guy was a guy named, I don't know if you ever heard of this guy, LeBron James.
LeBron
James left Cleveland in the summer of 2010.
Ohio?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Where he had been playing his whole career in Cleveland, Ohio. He left there. Went to the Miami Heat with Chris Bosh, who's another player, and they formed what's called the Heatles, which was LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, who's basically a career Heat guy, basically, and Chris Bosh. Mm-hmm. They were a big three.
Oh.
As we love to call them in basketball.
Call them the Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls?
Get it?
Who's Blossom? Who's Bubbles? Okay, hold on. First of all, LeBron is... Okay, real quick. LeBron is Blossom. Wait, Hold on. It's Blossom, Bubbles, and Buttercup. Yes. LeBron is Blossom, for sure. Buttercup? Oh, that's a great question. Is Dwayne Wade Buttercup, or is he Blossom?
What was the other person's name?
Chris Bosh.
Chris Bosh gives Bubbles vibes, and I will not elaborate further.
Okay, you know what? I'm fine with that. Chris Bosh is Bubbles, and Dwayne Wade is Buttercup. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade was a stone cold killer. Just like Buttercup.
Why was this question even posed then?
I don't remember. Anyway, so the three of them, they formed the Heatles. And then in 2011, they faced the Celtics in, I believe, the second round. And unfortunately, the Heat beat the Celtics. Now, I will say, in this series...
You're a sore loser.
That, you know, the team wasn't, you know... These things happen sometimes. What can you do? These things happen sometimes. Okay? What's important is it's a 1-1 series. Okay? It's 1-1 all time. Okay? Then we go to 2012. Where, tragically, the Heat won in 7. I'll say. In 7 games. Very, very close series. Very, very tight series.
Okay, but who won?
And we get a very iconic moment. From LeBron in this one, where anyone in the basketball community is aware of this is a picture. Well, it's not really a picture; it's a video. Mm-hmm. It's from the preview. Like they were like about to kick off, and the camera goes to LeBron, who's like warming up, and he's just standing there. And he has this kind of death stare.
Wait, is it when he like blows on someone? Is it
no?
No,
that's a whole different thing. But sorry. I love that you know what that is. No, he has, like, this kind of, like, death stare going forward. It's very, like, kind of like anime protagonist who's, like, about to go off.
I love it.
A little bit. Like
iconic.
Like, the really locked in, like, forehead, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. He had that stare. And it's very iconic because then he went on, and that was game 6. He went on, he popped off. He went crazy. By the way, the Celtics are up 3-2. So the Celtics, if they win game 6, uh-huh. that's it. Series over. Uh-huh. But the Heat have to win to force a game 7. LeBron James goes for 45 points. 15 rebounds, 5 assists, and he has he's a plus 22 on the night. So that happened. So then the Heat won, okay? And that was basically three series in back-to-back-to-back years. The Heat won 2 of the times, and the Celtics won once.
I said we have the majority.
Anyway, so then it cools off. We don't play again for a little while.
Okay.
And it's like the Celtics Heat rivalry wasn't as much of a thing as it was those specific teams kind of had a bit of a rivalry. But time passes, all the players on both those teams, they move on. They go to other places.
Yeah.
And then we find ourselves in 2020.
COVID.
So I don't know, do you know what the NBA did during COVID?
Would you believe if you told me basketball existed during COVID times, I would have been like, what? Hello?
You were not aware at all. Okay. I just wanted to understand. Okay. Not aware whatsoever. Well, what they did was when COVID hit, they had to shut down the season. They had to cancel it.
Of course, yeah.
And then a while later, they held what was called the bubble, which was basically this part in Disney World, Orlando, where they made a giant facility. They used the facility and stuff, and they basically made a bubble. Like everyone goes in, everyone gets tested, everyone's guaranteed they're clean. Nobody leaves, and nobody comes in. And we're gonna and they did the playoffs for that year, for that season, in Orlando, in like this small environment, no fans whatsoever, just like players, coaches, and like, and then people obviously to keep it going.
Wait, who would cheer for them? That makes me so sad.
So what they did was they had virtual fans. They had like fans like on the walls.
That had better have been free. Were people paying for that?
You know, honestly, I don't know. I actually have no idea.
If they were,
they probably made them pay.
They're so wrong for that.
Yeah, but yeah. So you could get your face on like the side, like virtually. It's like you watching.
Oh, they definitely made people pay.
Yeah. yeah, so that's what they did. In that, the Miami Heat actually went to the finals. They lost to the Lakers.
We're not going to talk about that.
The Eastern Conference Finals. So if you notice, in that first trilogy we had, in 2010 we meet in the first round, and then in 11 we meet in the second round, and then in 2012 we meet in the third round, in the semifinals.
So are we going to meet?
Conference Finals. So it was like this kind of like build up, slowly. Yeah. But in 2020, we meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. We meet right there in, like, the semifinals, basically.
Okay.
So we're already at the top. And the Heat win in seven. Or, I'm sorry, actually, it's six. Not seven. It was in six.
Ooh.
And that was very unfortunate.
Had the majority.
That was Jimmy Butler. That was this current iteration of the Heat. Well, at least the core players are the same. Jimmy Butler was there. Bam Adebayo was there. Tyler Herro was there. Duncan Robinson. All these guys. Eric Spoelstra was the coach. The whole deal. And the most iconic thing from this series is it's actually, and it still like pains me, is this block that Bam Adebayo had on Jason Tatum. And I want to say, I'm not actually sure which game it was. I think it was game five. It might have been game six. Where basically Jason is going for a dunk in a very, very end of the game. Very, very close. Like, game is, like, tied or it was, like, really, really close. Tatum goes for a dunk and Bam blocks it. And it's, like, a really incredible block where it's, like, it's just his wrist. And, like, the fact that he, like, was able to do it is a really good block. And the Celtics lost because of it.
Fuck yeah.
And so that still pains me a lot to think about, which hurts. But in 2022, so we skip a year. Mm-hmm. Then in 2022, we face again. And that time, the Celtics do come away victorious. Thank you very much, Jason Tatum.
Okay, but who Jaylen has Brown, the majority?
Marcus Smart.
Who has the majority?
Comes through in seven games. Beats the Miami Heat. Okay. When the Heat, mind you, walking into Miami's home court in game seven. Okay. And going in and beating them.
Okay, but last year, who was the only team to beat the Bucks in their home court?
You mean the Nuggets?
Same team.
They're not the same team. They're not the same.
Okay. But last year, who was the only team to get the Nuggets to lose having their home court advantage? I dropped the mic right here.
Boom. That's true. And then we get to last year where the Heat almost blew a 3-0 lead, mind you. They almost performed like one of the biggest like embarrassments in the history of basketball.
Where did your team stop last year?
You know, it was a very, you know, it was a seven-game series. Thank you very much. It was a very close series. It was not an easy win.
But who managed the win?
All right. So thank you for listening to Big Market Bias. If you have any, if you hear any credible NBA analyst with a prediction, please send that in to us at bigmarketbias@gmail.com. I am Peter Daubert, and for Chrissy Brambilla, and of course, for Cameron Green, who could not be here this episode, we thank you for listening. Yes.